Good morning, everybody. We want to welcome you to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning. We remind you this is Reformation Sunday, the nearest Sabbath day to the 31st of October. 505 years ago, Martin Luther nailed those 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg in Germany. Hard to believe it's 5 years since the great anniversary that we celebrated to mark the 500th anniversary. I'll just read to you from Romans chapter 1, the two verses that brought Martin Luther into the light of the gospel. Romans 1, 16 and 17, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Keep in mind those words are found four places in the scriptures, in Habakkuk chapter 2, and then three places in the New Testament here in the book of Romans, the book of Galatians, and the book of Hebrews. I'll take a few minutes this afternoon just to find all of those references. The just shall live by faith. May you come to faith in Christ today if you're still unsaved. And may the Lord help us that know him to walk by faith day by day. We're going to sing the words of the 40th Psalm, or some of the verses, together as we commence the service. "I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear. At length to me he did incline my voice and cry to hear." We're singing the first five verses, and then we're going to down and sing the final verse, the verse 17. So it's seven verses in all that we'll sing together, and we're going to stand as we worship the Lord, please. Take the Lord together in prayer. Ask the Lord to be with us and bless our service today. Our Father, we praise thee for the access that we have. We thank you for the place of prayer. We ask for a greater desire to seek thee. We pray the Spirit will come and help us and guide us in our prayers just now. We think of the words that we've just sung together. We can say that we're poor and needy. We acknowledge that freely, Father. But what an encouragement our hearts to know that the Lord thinks upon us. We want to pray, Father, for your presence with us today. We ask earnestly, come into this house, come into this meeting. We plead with thee, Father, to come down into our midst, be present with us in both of these services today. We give thee praise for the children and young people that have been found under the sound of your word this morning. Thank you for gathering them in and all that have been faithful in teaching and instructing them in the things of God. Lord, bless the word of God that has gone forth already, been sown in those young hearts. Our prayer, Father, is that you'll save the children. We rejoice that the little ones can come to faith in Christ. Your word warns us that we're not to offend one of these little ones that believe in thee. And Lord, our cry is that every child of this church will know Christ, that none of them would be lost, that none of them might perish. Lord, give to all of our families that great blessing of household salvation. We remember the promise, believe and we'll be saved and our house. And Lord, we're crying for household salvation right across this congregation. Lord, we're conscious today of how quickly this year is passing by. We think of this time of the year when the clock has changed again. We're into the autumn season. Your word reminds us that we all do fade as a leaf. And Lord, what a reminder this season is of that great truth that we're getting older, that our time upon this earth is passing by. Remember the warning of your word that the time is short. And Lord, we ask thee, give us wisdom. Give us wisdom with the time that we have. Your word says that we're to apply our hearts unto wisdom. And Lord, we want to cry, enable us to be wise with what we do with the time you've given to us. Help us to devote ourselves to Christ, to his kingdom, to his cause, to the spread of his gospel. We're mindful too, Father, of the days in which we live, even in our own land, days of great change, days of uncertainty. We think, Father, again of the passing of the late Queen Elizabeth, the change of monarch in our land, and even in more recent days, the change of prime ministers that has taken place. And Lord, we're conscious of the uncertainty that there is in our nation, even in these days. But we rejoice that we're bowed today before the one who is the unchanging God. We thank you we come to Jehovah in our prayers. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And Lord, what an encouragement that is to our hearts today. Help us to keep our eyes upon thee. We rejoice to know that you're still upon the throne, that you're still ruling and overruling. You're upholding all things by the word of your power. We thank you too, Father, for the certainty of your word, the unchangeableness of the promises of the scripture. They are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Heaven and earth, your word tells us, will pass away, but my word shall never pass away. And Lord, we ask thee to increase our faith. We've read together those verses that you used those many years ago to speak to Martin Luther, bring him into the light of the gospel. Lord, increase our faith today in the word of God. Remember that prayer of the disciples, Lord, increase our faith. That's our cry, Father, this day. And we want to pray that in the dark day in which we are found, we're mindful that that period in church history known as the Dark Ages, and it was after the darkness that the light of the gospel came. And, O God, we pray that there'll be some in our land at this time, even many of the Roman Catholics of this city, this province of ours. And, Lord, we're thinking of others too, of many other nationalities, many other religions that are found in this city and in this land. We pray that they too will be brought into the light of the gospel. Speak to them, Father, through your word. Remember every outreach of this church, the outreach team and the literature, the media team, and every broadcast, the radio broadcasts that go out, the outreaches among the children and the young people. We think too of the messages in the newspaper. And Lord, your word assures us that your word is not bound and your word will not return unto you void. We ask thee to give us even evidences today of God at work, speaking to hearts. And Lord, our prayer would be that you'll speak even all across this land, all across this nation, even at this time. We pray for power, Father. We lament our weakness, our powerlessness. We cry for the power of God. We ask earnestly that the Spirit of the Lord will descend today and upon these meetings, upon our lives, upon our service, in all of us fullness. And Lord, we're mindful of those that are not well in our congregation. We think of some of the senior members of the church, because of weakness, infirmity, can no longer be here. Lord, they're upon our hearts. Even as we gather, we miss them from our presence. We ask that you would be near to them just at this time. And we want to pray, Father, for all that are unwell, even at this time, all that have passed through procedures and operations. May they know the strengthening and healing touch of the Lord just in these days. Lord, we're mindful of Brian Quinn today, especially in hospital. Pray that you might be near to Brian. Pray you'll strengthen Richard and Carolyn just in these days in the family circle, the concern and anxiety that they're experiencing. We pray they'll know your presence and your grace. And we ask you just to guide the doctors too. We're mindful, Father, of those that mourn at this time, some that have lost loved ones suddenly in very tragic circumstances. Will God be near to them as they pass through the valley of the shadow of death? We're reminded again, Father, of the truthfulness of your word. We know not what a day will bring forth. None of us knows what lies ahead this day or this week. And Lord, we want to commit ourselves, our families, into your care, into your keeping. Pray that you'll preserve us in our going out and coming in. Remember the children this time of half term, the time of holiday, the break from schoolwork. And Lord, we pray that you'll be with them, keep them safe over this holiday time, and give them even a time of enjoyment and a time of refreshment together with our families. Lord, abide with us. We just ask thee now, come and be near to us. Come and visit us today in thy house. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to read in the scriptures, please. The book of Acts, chapter 4. The Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter. We're going to read together in this passage of God's word. The fourth chapter of the book of Acts. We're beginning at the verse 23. The latter part of the chapter. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts today. It says, and being let go, this is Peter and John, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joses, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Ending our reading there, and we know the Lord will add this morning his blessing to this, the public reading of his word. We welcome you all to morning worship on this Reformation Sabbath day. We're glad of your presence. I thank each one that has come along to the meeting, especially if you've come to visit. We're glad of your presence. May you be blessed amongst us. It's good to have all of the young people, the children, in the meeting today. We know it's half term. Some are away on a little break, but we're always glad to have the children and the young people in the house of the Lord. I want to welcome those that are watching the service this morning on the live stream. We're glad that you're able to join us. We emphasize that if you live in this Armagh community, we would like to have you along at the services, and we invite you to come and to join with us. Thank you for your prayers, especially for the mission trip. That trip went very well, a very profitable time. It was a very full schedule, quite a bit packed into the week or so that we were there in the country. It was very good to be able to visit our sister on the field, see the circumstances there in which she lives and labours for the Lord, to encourage her in the work, especially on your behalf, the minister of her home congregation. We were encouraged by her contentment in the work there in that land and the opportunities that the Lord is opening up for her. We will show a presentation of that work on Wednesday night week. That's Wednesday night the 9th of November. We'll put a little presentation together, show you some of the places that we were able to visit. We were able to visit many of the churches. We were there for a church opening, but also to visit some of the other churches as time and circumstances allowed. So do remember that Wednesday night week, come along. We'll not be live streaming the service that night because of the nature and so on of the report that will be given. Yesterday marked the 12th anniversary of my installation as the minister of the congregation here. Amazing how time just goes past, how quickly the time passes by. And we want to take the opportunity today just to acknowledge the Lord's faithfulness. In my scripture reading this morning, it was in Lamentation chapter 3, those words, "The Lord's mercies are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness." So we acknowledge the Lord's faithfulness to us, even as a congregation, his provision, his blessing. I want to thank you for your support and prayers and the great encouragement that you all have been to us over that period of time. Remember just the meetings in the will of the Lord for the incoming week. There's no bright hours in this incoming week, either here in the church or out at Killalea, because of the half-term holiday. So just to highlight that, please make that known to the children. Remember the midweek service, Wednesday night at 8, the prayer meeting and Bible study. God willing, I'll be speaking at that meeting myself. And we do encourage you, set the night aside. We're going to emphasize the prayer meeting in the message this morning, just the importance of it. And we encourage you to come along to the midweek meetings. Remember, Friday in the morning is the monthly assembly down at the Drumhillery Primary School. We're doing the story, the missionary story of Lottie Moon with the boys and girls. And then in the evening at 8 is the Youth Fellowship, and that's going to be a home meeting. Encourage all the young people to come along. Also on Friday night is the presbytery, the monthly meeting of the presbytery, and it'll be held down in the Cookstown Church at 8 o'clock. Next Lord's Day, 6th of November, the Sunday School and Bible classes at 10:40, the morning service 11:30. There will be communion, the Lord's table, immediately after the morning service. Remember that from next month, we're planning to reintroduce the Lord's table again on the regular monthly occasion, just on the first Lord's Day of every month following the morning service. So communion next Sabbath morning after the morning meeting. The evening service at 6:30. And then remember the half hour of prayer, please, before both services, 11 o'clock and 6 o'clock then in the evening. I'll be preaching, God willing, at both services. The Radio Star Country broadcasts going forth every Wednesday at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 981 medium wave. I'll be bringing the messages through the month of November. I appreciate your prayers for the Lord's help and guidance as we prepare those messages. And do pray the Lord will use the broadcasts and souls will be saved. The latest Watching and Waiting magazine, it's actually the issue for the new year. It's been prepared well ahead. So there's copies of that available in the church today. And also our brother Sam Houston from the Hillsborough Church has produced a Christmas CD. It's called Jesus is Joy to the World, and it's priced £10. So there's a few copies of Sam's CD that's found there in the porch. The Ballymena Church are having their annual Bible conference this incoming week. The meeting started last evening. Every night of the incoming week at 8 o'clock, the Reverend John Wagner, one of the retired ministers from the United States. The Reverend Wagner started out in the Philadelphia Church whenever the Reverend Greer was the minister there, so they've been friends for many years. So our brother's speaking on the subject of struggling saints. And you can hear those meetings, tune in to the meetings and hear the messages on the live stream from Ballymena as well. The Banbridge Church is running a coffee morning next Saturday. That's the 5th of November between 10 and 12:30. Mrs. June McComb from the Banbridge Church, she makes and sells very high quality greeting cards, and all of the proceeds from the sale of those cards goes to help the work at the Emmanuel Christian School in Uganda. June has done that now for a number of years. So if you're able or you're in the Banbridge area, please go along to the coffee morning next Saturday between 10 and 12:30. Do pray especially for Brian Quinn at this time. That's Richard and Carolyn's father. He's been quite ill in hospital this week with heart trouble. They would value your prayers for the Lord's healing hand to be upon him, just to stabilize his condition, strengthen him in body. Brian would listen into the services here on a regular basis. So we do want to remember Brian and remember Richard and Carolyn in the family in your prayers just at this time. We want to sympathize as well with our brother, Mr. Horace Hutton. Horace has been very faithful at coming along to our evening meetings, especially for quite a number of years. Just sympathize with Horace on the death of both his brother-in-law and his sister-in-law, Ronnie and Jean Hollinger. Both were killed in a tragic road accident on Thursday in County Monaghan. Ronnie was the sister of Horace's late wife, Hilda. I was speaking to Horace yesterday. Hilda and Ronnie were very close. Hilda was about 6 years older than Ronnie, but they were very close through their lifetimes. And as a result of that, Horace had been very close to Ronnie as well. They had a very close friendship also. So the death has been an immense loss to the family, a great shock to the community. And we pray the Lord might speak even through those circumstances. The funeral service is tomorrow at 1 o'clock in the Monaghan Elam Church. And we do want to remember very especially that whole family circle in our prayers. Also, as a congregation, we're greatly saddened to learn just yesterday morning of the death of Mrs. Elizabeth Walkinshaw from the Tandragee Church. Mrs. Walkinshaw was for many years the matron of the Whitfield College of the Bible. She was matron when both Roberta and I studied at the college, and Roberta also worked as deputy matron of the college alongside Mrs. Walkinshaw for a period of time before going into study in the college herself. Mrs. Walkinshaw is or was very well known through our denomination. She did a vital work in the college, particularly when it was in Lawrencetown. So we're greatly saddened to learn of her sister's death also. We want to sympathise with the whole Walkinshaw family circle. Pray they will know the Lord's presence. Mrs. Walkinshaw's funeral will take place on Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock in the Tandragee Church. So we want to commend both of these families to the whole congregation for your prayerful support through these days of bereavement. We're going to sing together, please, the hymn 632, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Sweet Hour of Prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants and wishes known. 632, and we'll stand as we sing, please.
Yeah.
Some of you would have known our brother Jim Bradford, who was the clerk of session of the Corrigarry Church. You'll remember that I was in charge of Corrigarry during the last vacancy and got to know the folk there quite well. Jim had been suffering from Parkinson's disease for a number of years, and Jim also passed away during this past week. He and his wife Olivia had moved up to Tynan in recent years to be near to the family, and they had come out to the services here once or twice, particularly for special occasions. So Jim's funeral was yesterday in the Corrigarry Church. We were very saddened just to learn of his death. And even with Ronnie and Jean Hollinger, the death is a connection with the Corrigarry Church too. John and Ruth Stewart's daughter Jill, married to Ronnie and Jean's son Samuel. So it's been quite a difficult week for the Corrigarry Church in that regard. Do remember them. Some of you would have known Andrew McCausland as well, who had a ministry for many years, a literature ministry with the Cavan Christian Bookshop. We would have met Andrew regularly when we're down at the Ploughing outreach in the south. The Cavan Christian Bookshop always had a stand and did a work there for the Lord for many years. So I ask you to remember all of these folk just at this difficult time, just for your encouragement too, especially the media team. We were over in England, over in London on Friday night, speaking at the monthly meeting of the Sovereign Grace Advent Testimony. Some of the folk there told us that during the pandemic, they would have met together on Zoom, holding some meetings just to be able to come together in fellowship. And they would play recordings from some of the ministers over here, and they would have regularly prayed some of the recordings, some of the messages from our church here in Armagh. And they've continued to do that, even though the restrictions of the pandemic now are lifted. They still meet together regularly and still played some of those messages for their encouragement and edification. So I pray that encourages you too, and especially the brethren in the media team, of the extent of how the Lord's using those broadcasts, the messages that go out, go up on sermon audio on Facebook. We don't always know, don't always hear. The Lord encourages us to walk by faith. We'll seek his face together, just in a wee word of prayer. Father, we bow in your presence, solemnized to think of the deaths that have been mentioned, and we remember all of these families, want to bring them before thee. Lord, we remember that you're the God of all comfort, the God of all grace. How relevant, how precious those words are. However great our grief, however great our loss, you're able to comfort, you're able to give the grace that is needed. We ask thee, Father, remember these families. Pray for the Hollinger family today. May the Lord's good hand be upon them. Draw near. We ask, give them strength, especially for tomorrow. Remember the Walkinshaw family too. Thank you for the memory of Mrs. Walkinshaw and for her life and her labours, the influence upon the lives of so many young people. We pray you'll comfort the Walkinshaw family. We ask thee, Father, to remember the Bradfords too, and the McCausland's. We bring them all before thee at this time, asking, Father, that you'll give beauty for ashes, and the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lord, speak to our hearts. We pray that you'll teach us to number our days. Help us to redeem the time that we have. Lord, as we think of all of these dear folk that have been taken from this scene of time of varying ages, Lord, we want to pray, give us grace to devote ourselves more to the cause of Christ and to the winning of souls. Abide with us now. Put your hand upon the ministry of your word. Lord, we ask that you will know the hand of God upon us. Fill us with your spirit. We pray just give the utterance that is needed to bring the message of God to this people today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 4, please. I'll ask you to open the word of God at this chapter. The Acts of the Apostles, the fourth chapter. And we're going to take verse 31 as our text. It says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." The theme this morning is the power of the prayer meeting, or power in the prayer meeting. May the Lord be pleased to give us a little of that in the days in which we're found. Let me remind you that we have read this morning a record of a New Testament church prayer meeting. I remind you that there's six prayer meetings that are recorded in the book of Acts. Remember, the Bible teaches us not just by command, but also by example. So we have the example of the church at prayer in the book of Acts. This is the third of those six prayer meetings. What we learn here especially is that after the release of Peter and John, the church held a prayer meeting. And the mark of this prayer meeting was the power of God that was upon it. Not only did the people feel the power of God, the power of the Spirit, but so did the building, so did the property. That 31st verse says, "The place was shaken where they were assembled together." Such was the visitation of God's Spirit upon it, that the very building shook to its foundation. If we're honest, brethren and sisters, this morning, this is what is lacking in prayer meetings all across the land. At times, they're dead, they're lifeless, they're cold, they're hard. Prayer meetings today are nothing like the one that is spoken of and recorded here in Acts chapter 4. What we need is to be shaken, even as they were at this time. That should challenge us, should be challenged our hearts today. It should reveal to us how far removed we are from the New Testament experience, particularly of the Acts of the Apostles. But the question I want you to think of with me this morning is, why did they have power? Why did they have power in the prayer meeting? What was the reason, or what were the reasons that can be given? And that's what I want us to consider just for a few minutes. Let me emphasize to you, first of all, their prayer meeting had the right place in their lives. The prayer meeting had the right place not just in the lives of the Christians, but it also had the right place in the life of the church, because the prayer meeting had first place in their lives. Verse 23, if you look at it, it says, "And being let go, they went to their own company." The first place they went, after being let out of prison, they went to the church meeting. They went to the gathering of God's people. And it says, "And reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord." The prayer meeting had first place. After they returned from prison to the company of God's people, and they reported, they told them what had happened, the first thing they did was they prayed together. They held a prayer meeting. To them, the prayer meeting was vital, the first thing to do. It was of paramount importance for them in those difficult days of persecution and of opposition to the work and ministry of the church. I put it to you like this. The prayer meeting was not supplemental to them. It was fundamental. Fundamental to them and to the life of the church. The prayer meeting wasn't an added extra. It was the very heart, the very center of church life. I wonder, is that true for you? Is that how you view the prayer meeting of the church? And remember, that's illustrated for us in other parts of the scriptures, other parts of the Acts of the Apostles. Remember at the beginning of the book, remember the book of Acts begins with a prayer meeting. Acts chapter 1, before obeying the great commission given to them by the Savior, they gathered together for prayer, 10 days of prayer. It was the first thing they did, because they knew that they needed God's power resting upon their lives. Again, in Acts 12, after Peter's arrest, their lives were in danger, and the first thing that the church did was hold a prayer meeting. Peter's life especially was in danger at that time. He was on death row. So the church gathered together to pray. So it's clear to the New Testament Christians, the prayer meeting had prominence. It had first place in their lives. So I ask you, brethren and sisters, for a moment, just ponder that and ask yourself honestly the question, what place does the prayer meeting have in your life? What place does it have every week? The reality is this, you can't get away from it. If the prayer meeting has first place in your life, you will want to be there. You'll want to be present at the prayer meeting. And you'll not be making all sorts of excuses for not being there, for not being in regular attendance and in regular support. Let me say this to you for your encouragement, and I know that to some extent I'm preaching here to the converted, but I want to say this to you. Nothing is ever lost, brethren and sisters, that is given to God. The Scripture says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and running over. And that includes your time. Some of you might think, I can't afford to lose that night to go to the prayer meeting, to give a whole evening to the prayer meeting. But remember, brethren and sisters, may the Lord give you a fresh understanding, fresh vision of it. Remember that time spent with God, time spent in prayer, is never lost. It's never wasted. God will make it up to you. God will bless you. And He will bless you more than you could ever imagine for giving that time to Him. Think of those words we're all so familiar with. Matthew 6 and 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. That should be one of the basic guiding principles of the Christian life. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. God's work, the church, the kingdom of Christ, the extension of His kingdom. That should have first place. We should put God first. And if we do, the promise of the verse is He'll bless us. He'll bless you. He'll provide for you all your temporal needs, all these things, the things that you're worried about every day. How will those things be provided for you and your family in these very difficult days, uncertain days, days of soaring costs? Here's how, brethren and sisters. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Isaiah the prophet said, it's no vain thing to wait upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. What that means is that you will be the better. You will be the stronger. You'll be the stronger physically. You'll be the stronger spiritually for going to the prayer meeting of the church. So, brethren and sisters, I urge you, if because of circumstances in your life, whatever they have been, if because of the circumstances of COVID, and we all know the effect that that has had upon apathy, indifference with so many of the Lord's people, maybe you're one of them. If the prayer meeting doesn't have its rightful place in your life, I encourage you to put that right at this time. It'll be the first step on the road to getting the power of God upon the ministry of this church and upon our lives, all that we seek to do for him. So I want you to emphasize that to you, brethren and sisters. That's the first reason why that there was power in the prayer meetings of the early church. They gave the prayer meeting its rightful place. And also, I want you to see that it had the right peace. Think of verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God. And notice these words, with one accord. Those words, with one accord, they're one of the key statements in the book of Acts. They're found six times in the early chapters of the book. Take a few minutes later to read over the early chapters and find all of the references, all of the mentions of with one accord. The church of Corinth was totally different from the church in Jerusalem. Those words with one accord, they stressed the unity of the church in Jerusalem at that time, the harmony that those believers were enjoying and experiencing. But the church at Corinth, it was full of envy and strife and divisions. And how sad, brethren and sisters, that is. But this church at Jerusalem was not like that. There was a oneness. There was a unity. There was a harmony among God's people. There were no fights. There were no wars. There was no rumors of wars among them. There was peace in the church. And what a blessing. Remember, the devil will want to disturb that peace. It is interesting as you read through Acts, I've mentioned to you to look for those references, but it's interesting that the words with one accord, they're used three times of the prayer meetings. Remember, there's six great prayer meetings in the Acts of the Apostles. Well, three times of those prayer meetings, the words with one accord are used. Chapter 1, chapter 2, and chapter 4. What that emphasizes for us is how vital unity is if we are to have the power of God upon our ministry, if we're to know the power of God in our prayer meetings. It teaches us God will not bless a prayer meeting if there is no unity in the church, no unity among his people. Remember the words of Psalm 133, how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Remember, we be brethren. That's what Abraham said to Lot those many years ago. We're brethren and sisters in Christ. We're all receivers of the same salvation, so great salvation. We've all experienced the forgiveness of sins, the cleansing of the Savior's blood. We've all experienced the common salvation that is set out in the New Testament scripture so plainly for us. How good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There the Lord commands the blessing. That, brethren and sisters, is the key to God's blessing upon the life of the Christian and upon the work of the church. There are many parents in the meeting this morning. Parents are grieved when the family fights, when the children fight, especially when the children are older and they should know better. And it's the same with the Lord, brethren and sisters. If you're grieved, well, he's even more grieved when his children fight and squabble among themselves. Can I ask you to think of the question, is he grieved over some of his children here, the behavior of some of his children in this church? Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It's not a solemn thought, brethren and sisters. Christians can grieve the Holy Spirit. That's a serious thing. It causes the Holy Spirit to withdraw his presence, his blessing, his power from among us. Are you grieving the Lord by your life, grieving the Spirit of God? The context of those words in the book of Ephesians, it has to do with sin in the believer's life. Christians lying, Christians being angry, being unkind, saying all sorts of hurtful things. That's what grieves the Spirit, brethren and sisters. That sort of life, that sort of conduct. That's what causes the Spirit to withdraw his presence and his power from us. And sadly, there is so much quarrelling today, so much fighting among Christians, among God's people. So is it any wonder there's no power in our meetings, no power in our prayer meetings? Our fights have grieved, quenched the Spirit, and robbed us of the power of God, robbed us of the power of His Spirit. You think of the word Amen. Paul said to the Corinthian believers, "Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say Amen at thy giving of thanks?" So we learn there from what Paul is saying that saying Amen in the meeting, saying it publicly, it's a scriptural thing. Paul makes reference to it, he encourages it there in that text. When I left the Presbyterian Church all those many years ago to come to the Free Presbyterian Church, that was one of the major differences that I could see in the meetings. The people that said Amen, the number of Amens in the gathering. Not so many today. Maybe that's one of the reasons why our prayer meetings are so dead. Amen means so be it. If somebody makes a request in the meeting, whenever they're offering prayer, making a petition before the Lord, and you say Amen after it, well, you're saying so be it, let it come to pass. That word Amen is a declaration of your agreement, your union, your oneness with the person who's praying publicly at that time. It'll encourage them. So I want you to see that amens are an evidence of unity. They're an evidence of praying together with one accord as God's people. So I encourage you, introduce the odd amen into the prayer meetings of the church once again. What a blessing that will be. The other thing I'll emphasize why they had the power of God was the right petition. If you look there at verse 29, verse 30 of the chapter, "Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus." What was the right petition? What was the right request for the church to make at this time? Time of opposition to them. The right request was for power and for the help of God. Notice, they didn't ask for a change of circumstances. Often that's our outlook when we're in a difficult situation. They didn't pray to be delivered from the situation in which they were found. They didn't pray for fire from heaven to come down and to destroy their enemies. Remember, that's what John and James, the sons of thunder, the Boanerges, the Lord Jesus called them, the sons of thunder. That's what they wanted the Savior to do in Luke chapter 9. What the church here in Jerusalem did was they prayed for help. They prayed for the help of heaven. They prayed for the intervention of God. They prayed for the intervention of God, especially in the Spirit coming down upon them mightily. If you look there at verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled." Well, why did the building shake? Was it something to do with the structure, the foundations? Whenever we were on that recent mission trip, the Wednesday afternoon, the Reverend Crane was speaking in the youth conference, and there was an earthquake. The building started to move, started to tremor, started up at the border. Thankfully, there was no damage, no loss of life. What they would have called a moderate earthquake. But what was it that caused this building to move, to shake? It was the Spirit of God coming down so mightily, so powerfully upon the gathering. It says every believer was filled with the Holy Ghost. Just think of that. Every believer in the meeting, every believer in the prayer meeting, in the church, knew the fullness of the Holy Ghost upon them. And remember, that's an additional experience, brethren and sisters, to salvation. And it's something that is repeated in the Christian life. It's not a once-for-all experience. It's repeated over and over again. And you have an example of that here. Some of these believers had been filled with the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, but here they were filled again. They had another endowment, another infilling of the Holy Ghost. In fact, if you study the chapter, this was the second time that Peter was filled with the Holy Ghost that very day. Look at verse 8. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them." So when you get down to verse 31, for the second time that day, he knew the infilling of the Holy Ghost in his life. A repeated experience. Now here's the question. Do you have it? Do you have the power of God upon your life? What a challenge. We need what is sometimes described as judgment day honesty. Just ask yourself that question before the Lord this morning. Here was the source of their power, brethren and sisters. The Holy Ghost. They prayed for power and God filled them. God filled them again with his Spirit. The simple fact is this. If you don't have the power of God, and we have to admit that today we don't have it as former generations did. One of the reasons for that is we don't pray for it as we should. We don't make the request for it, the right request. Remember, it's possible to ask amiss. James said, "You have not because you ask not." We need to keep on asking till the power comes. He also said, "You ask and you receive not because you ask amiss." We can make the wrong petition entirely, that we can consume it upon our lusts. It's our covetous spirit sometimes that motivates the request that we make. So here, brethren and sisters, is part of the problem, the wrong petition. Or we give up in offering that petition all too early, all too soon. We need to make the right request. We need to pray earnestly, continually, for the power of God upon our lives. Because only then will we know that power. Only then will we know it personally. Only then will we know it in the meetings, the ministry of the church, as they did at this time. So the question we posed at the beginning, why did the church in Jerusalem have the power of God, especially in their prayer meetings? Well, the right place. The prayer meeting at the right place. Does it have the right place in your life? The right peace, unity. Are you one of the Christians causing unrest, sowing discord among the church? The right petition. They knew what they needed. They were honest about it and they pleaded God with God, especially for the aid, the power of his Spirit. Let me tell you this story just as I finish. I've mentioned to you previously a number of times the benefit, the profit of reading the life of D.L. Moody. F.B. Meyer, who was a good friend, but Meyer was a Bible teacher from England. Moody brought a lot of the Bible teachers across for his Northfield conference every summer. Meyer had been in Moody's home 10 or 11 times. He relayed that D.L. Moody told him the story of how he got the power of God. He said that he opened a hall one Sunday night and invited all to come. The meeting was full to capacity. They couldn't get any more people in. There were three or four ladies that sat at the front, and they would say to Mr. Moody, very good, but there's something you haven't got. Just think of that. Something you haven't got. He said he couldn't understand it until one day he was walking down Fifth Avenue in New York City, and the Lord drew near to him. And he had to go aside. There was a man that he knew that lived in Fifth Avenue. He asked to be able to go into his apartment, into a room, to get alone with God. He said he started out on the sofa, but he said that the meeting he had with God that day was such that he ended up on the floor before God, pleading for his power. He said it's an experience that was almost too sacred to tell. But he said it had to be told so that others might be challenged. Challenged to know that it's possible to have such power resting upon their lives. The next Sunday when I got up and preached, those same ladies rejoiced, "Mr. Moody, you've got it now. You've got it now." And it's true of us, brethren and sisters. We do need to be honest in the days in which we live. We think of the witness, the effects of the witness of the ministry in these days. Let us all be honest this morning. There's something we haven't got. Something we've heard about. Something we've been told about. The psalmist said, "Our fathers have told us without its due in their day." And many of you in this meeting can remember those days. Remember what God did in the days of our fathers, even in this church. But for all that God has given to us in the days in which we live, there's something that we haven't got. Let that sink in this morning. We don't have the power of God. We don't have his power in our witness, our ministry, especially in our prayer meetings. Well, here, men and women, brethren and sisters, in this chapter is something of how to remedy that, how to put it right, by giving the prayer meeting its rightful place, by giving that matter of peace and unity, harmony, oneness, been sure that that is so, that there's no cause of division, no cause of grieving the Holy Spirit. And that, like this church, and like what they did in Acts 1, pleading for the power of God, the promise of the Father, pleading persistently for it until God was pleased to give it to them. The verse 24 says, And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. Well, we'll see you on Wednesday night, 8 o'clock, the prayer meeting of the church. Will you be there to plead for this church, your family, our land and the mess in which it's found? There's one thing this land needs, it's prayer. The prayers of God's people. Will you be there to lift up your voice to God? You mightn't be able to pray publicly. I understand that. But you can come and lift your heart to God. Lift our hearts unitedly to him with one accord. Let the Lord intervene and send to us again mighty days of the power of his Spirit. 637, here from the world we turn, think of the words, the importance of what is exhorted here. Here from the world we turn, Jesus to seek, hear may his loving voice tenderly speak. We'll stand as we sing, 637, please. just bow together in prayer. We will tell you a few more details about that earthquake when we give that report, and some other experiences that we had on that trip as well. So do remember that reporting meeting on Wednesday night week. Father, we're conscious of our need. We think of the power of the Spirit coming upon a meeting, coming into a building in such a way that the very building moves, the very building is shaken. Lord, we acknowledge today that this land, this church, we need a spiritual earthquake. We plead the power of God today. We feel our need, conscious, Lord, of our feebleness, our weakness. We ask for the power of God to descend. Come and visit this church. Come and visit our lives, our homes. Come, O God, upon this land of ours in the days in which we live. Be with us now. We commit each one into your hands as we go from thy house. Remember the gospel service. Lord, bring in the unsaved. Thank you for those that have been coming in regularly. Bring them through for Christ. Lord, may the power of God be upon the preaching tonight. May your word be proclaimed in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of the living God. Now we ask that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost be with us all, for Jesus' sake. Amen.